Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, back again, we have Richard Lawrence. Richard is a spiritual teacher and international best-selling author, whose books have been sold in many countries. These include the international bestseller, Unlock Your Psychic Powers, Journey into Supermind, Realize Your Inner Potential, authored with Dr. George King, and God's Guides and Guardian Angels, co-authored with Mark Bennett. Richard has participated in hundreds of TV and radio shows, talks and seminars worldwide, including GB News, Talk TV, Times Radio, and Coast to Coast AM. In addition to having a column in The Observer, he has written for The Daily Express, Daily Mail, The Sun, Women's World, Here's Health, Health and Fitness, and USA's Whole Life Times. Richard teaches events and workshops such as Awaken Your Chakras at the Aetherius Society, London. And in this week's show, we talk all about how you may discover your psychic and spiritual powers.
Hey!
Hello, Richard!
Yogini Joanne! How are you?
I'm really, really well. And it's
great.
Absolutely wonderful to have you back on the Great Awakening show again.
It's an honour to be on. You've got a great show. We love it.
Oh, I just love it. And I just love the Aetherius Society. And I can't wait to come to your Discover Your Psychic and Spiritual Powers workshop.
Well, you come as a guest, but I hear you've already booked. So you're always welcome at any of my events.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just wonderful. Yeah. I can't wait. I'm really excited.
Oh, looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing you again.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. Oh. And Richard, what a wonderful show we're going to have today.
Yeah.
So, first of all, please explain to our audience, what are psychic and spiritual powers? Please explain them.
Okay, so everybody has them. We have unlimited potential within us. And we can all awaken. And as a matter of fact, many people are kind of aware of it, that things are happening that they can't explain in any other way. I used to do a lot of sort of mainstream radio phone-ins, and people would phone in with their experiences. Now, these were people who would say they weren't psychic at all, but they were having these experiences, and you know, they would be sensing a loved one through perhaps a sense of smell. So they were in their bedroom and they could smell pipes. No one was smoking a pipe, but the exact tobacco smell that their husband or something always used to smoke in his pipe or whatever it might be. And sometimes people would report psychic experiences which had even saved lives. Like I remember one chap who phoned in. Now, these are anecdotes. He was a pilot. He was a parachutist. And just as he was about to jump in his parachute from the plane, he heard these words, "Check your parachute." And he was in the Royal Air Force. So this is routine. I mean, these things are packed very carefully and so on. But he did check it, and a mistake had been made. And he said if he hadn't listened to that voice, he would have died. Now, he asked me, what was the voice? And this is where it gets interesting. You know, it can be a guide. It can be somebody guiding you and helping you. It can be someone that you knew that's now passed on and is looking over you. Or it can be a guide who's interested in what your work is or or who's even known you in a past life, I would say. Maybe not in the life that you're leading now. Who has an interest in you. If you have very exceptional work, such as healing work, some types of spiritual teaching, such as on the Yogini Joanne UK Health Radio Show or what have you, you could attract certain guides who come to you more for that than for a personal reason. So it could be that, or it could be his way of hearing his own intuition
The
And
highest
this is
level.
where you need the training. These are some of the things that when we do our workshop, we're going to go into and show people can start to tell the difference. Sometimes you don't know what it is exactly, but if it's true and it works, it's still fine.
Yes. And that intuition, that's our higher self that's connected with source, with the creator, with God, goddess, all the time in the spiritual multidimensional world. You know, we're always there. It's just like a piece of us has been projected, hasn't it? The soul consciousness into this body that we're living now. But that's where we get all of our divine intelligence from. But,
Indeed, it is absolutely right. I mean, there are many different types of psychic ability. So all the senses, the physical senses, taste, touch, smell, sight, hearing, they all have a psychic extension. So when we say clairvoyance, for example, that's psychic vision. Clairaudience would be psychic hearing. That's something I've personally done a lot of. You have to be careful with that, though, because you can, if there's any mental health issues or something, you can become deluded. So you have to be very careful with that one, but it can be done. I've done it myself. I do it myself. It's a very definite, real thing. Then you can get psychic touch. Now, that's very, very common. Everyone can heal, everyone can radiate energy. And then you get psychic smell, isn't so common, but some people have had wonderful experiences of great aromas. I mean, I'll give you an example that happened to me like this week, actually. I was away, I was in the Canary Isles, actually, on a holiday. I was having a massage, but I suddenly had the strong impression, visual impression, of a skull. Now, a skull, it wasn't an unpleasant skull, by the way. It was, if you can imagine something, it was very white, and I knew it was a good thing. I knew it wasn't a nasty, bad thing. But I thought, I was there with my wife, Alison, and I said, I think someone's died. And it's a good death, but I think someone's died. So about half an hour later, when this was finished, I called back to the society anyway, and I found out indeed somebody had died, and they were just in the process of making arrangements for that. But as he was an organizer of one of our groups in Nigeria, a wonderful person who just passed on, and they were making arrangements that right there and then. And so it was very timely. This is just a small example using a psychic sense, in that case, vision. Some people say they get a funny taste in their mouth. That's a psychic impression, if it's real. And I have come across in my life two people who used taste as a way of divining things. So it can be, that's very rare. Sometimes, if you're doing yoga breathing, and you might have experienced this, no doubt, you can taste a wonderful nectar. You get us at the end of the tongue. Yeah. And that's a psychic impression. A lot of the yogic things are psychic. I mean, there are many psychic things in yoga, but often traditional yoga teachers will discourage you from developing your psychic abilities. And they'll say, no, detach from that, just go within. But actually, when you start to see lights in the third eye and things like these are all psychic impression. They're more than impressions. You can go beyond the impression stage to the reality stage. Funny enough, on one of the workshops you came on, actually, we taught a visualization practice, and it was using color. And without going into it all now, because it takes some preparation, this person did that practice, and I saw her about a few weeks ago, and she said to me, she did that practice, and she's not well, which I didn't know. She had leukemia, and she was doing other things that she always does. The only difference was she carried on doing this visualization that she'd learnt on that workshop, actually, very, very regularly. She was doing it, I don't know, it was every day, but a lot. And she said when she went for her test last month in July, she came out with zero on her readings for leukemia. Now, she attributes it to that visualization. I mean, I don't know. One has to be, and I'm not claiming, don't think you come to my workshop and get cured of cancer. I'm not saying that. But these things are real, they really work. So those are the senses. You can use all the senses psychically. But then, and there's another one I should mention, which is clairsentience, which is very common, where you just feel. Sometimes in your stomach area, you can be with a person, they haven't told you, they might be putting on a brave face or looking fine, but you can sense what's really going on there. And sometimes you can sense it quite deeply. You know, well beyond what they're even kind of consciously aware of themselves sometimes. And that's when you pick up feeling. You might pick up an ailment. You might be sitting next to someone and your left shoulder starts hurting. And you say, "Is there anything wrong with your left arm or shoulder?" And they say, "Yes, actually, I've got tennis elbow," whatever it is. So those things, that's clairsentience. And then finally come to the one you mentioned, which is intuition. And this is the highest of them all. This is above them all, actually. And this is the one you absolutely need, you can completely depend on, because it comes, as you rightly say, from your higher self.
And how can we develop the intuition of our divine higher self to give us answers that we seek? You know, because we're so powerful, we just don't realize our potential.
Yeah, well, actually, one of the things I'm going to do is that very thing. I'm going to do a practice designed to get to allow people, because this is called Discover Your Psychic and Spiritual Powers. So I want people to either have an experience themselves, I hope they will of some kind, because experience is the best way to test these things. Other people can believe you or not. There's nothing you can much do about that. But you will know from your own experience. And if they don't, even if they don't, they'll see other people there having experiences. I mean, as you know, you've been on the workshop before, and we saw people there sending healing and feeling the energy as they sent it. And we also saw people receiving it and feeling it as they received it over a distance, short distance in our temple here. And we even had people who said they were, well, one person I think said they'd been cured of a knee problem they'd had for years. Whether that lasted, I don't know. But these are real tangible things. So one of the exercises I will be doing is designed to help you to tap into your intuition, because we live in a world which is driven by the intellect, and university education, which is so encouraged now. For virtually all teenagers, nearly are encouraged if they can to go to university. But the sort of basis of the university education, and I went there to one myself when hardly anyone went, but it's critical thinking that you're taught on the whole. It's not creative thinking and it's not intuitive thinking.
That's right.
And critical thinking can be valuable, don't get me wrong. It can be extremely valuable and useful. So I'm not decrying it at all, but it's not the sum total of our mental potential by a long chalk. And the use of the intuition, this can help to guide you to knowledge the intellect can't tap, because the intellect can only deal with information it's given.
Yes, from
And there's a
the
lot of,
outside, not from within.
I mean, you know, you can assess and analyze facts that are available to you. And that's what you can do, and that's a useful thing to do, and you can learn logic and so forth. But which is important, because some people in the spiritual movement, they discard that. You shouldn't discard it, but you should just recognize there's things higher than that, because the intuition can tap into information you have not been given. And you can start to access information that's in the general mind belt, which can come to you at an intuitive level.
That's
And you
right.
can make judgments then, and they come, as you rightly say, from within you, from your higher self.
Which is a part of the oneness, a part of the creator, a part of God, goddess, you know,
Absolutely.
source, whichever you want to say. So that's divine intelligence, you
It
know.
is.
And so how would you say that it is very important then to go within, to have that quiet place to
Yeah.
quieten the mind, the monkey mind that is full of all that thinking and things from outside in the world, you know,
Yeah.
the thoughts, the wants, the needs. It's so important to calm ourselves, isn't it? Prepare
Yes.
ourselves so that we can actually receive that information. And we can't receive it if the mind is all over the place. We have to be in that place, of
We
silence
do.
to receive, yeah.
We do, and we have to raise our consciousness to a higher place. And most people, their consciousness is driven from lower centers. Now, lower centers, psychic centers, chakras, if you like, aren't bad. They're not bad. They're all the chakras are good. In fact, some yoga teaching, you'd almost think that they were bad. You want to get away from them. They're not bad. They just need to be used correctly. But I think one of the things we have to do, and this can be difficult to do, is open ourselves up and become aware of our own full consciousness before we can, as it were, move on. In other words, we have to raise it. We have to transmute it to something higher. And we can only do that if we face everything that's within us and don't suppress it. So again, some of the old yogic techniques, and they worked and worked very well. You'll even find it in the aphorisms of Patanjali, which are wonderful. They include an element of suppression, and then you move sometimes to a higher level. And that can work and work very well. And if you're advanced enough, you won't have anything really to suppress anyway. And so it'll be fine. But in most of us, there are all kinds of thoughts that need to be risen. Now, the great thing is, when you open yourself up and you become aware, and this includes, I'm not afraid to say, but I'm sorry to have to point out, conscience. We have to accept our conscience. We have to really, and sometimes this isn't very pleasant. And sometimes if you do have a past life memory, it's not very pleasant either, because sometimes, there are things. If they were all good, all our past life memories, real ones, not invented ones or imagined ones, then we wouldn't be in the position we're in now. We
No.
we'd have ascended by
Yeah,
now.
that's right. We'd be ascended. That's for sure. We wouldn't be here.
So these are things that come along that are within our aura. We all have an aura around us. An ascended master, male or female, ascended master does not have an aura at all. They don't need an aura. An aura is a binding thing. An aura is a thing which is our own consciousness, our own thoughts, our own samskaras, as
Yes.
they would say in yoga. These are things which are binding us and holding us and preventing a free flow of energy from and to us. However, they aren't, it's necessary for us. We have to work it out. We have to raise it. Whereas an ascended master has done that already. So they can just take the energies which come to them, use them as they choose to use them in whatever way is for the betterment of others, because that's all they're interested in. When I was away, actually, I became aware that the ascended masters, I believe, the reason they don't do wrong things, I mean, they follow their higher self all the time. That's what they do. And that they don't do it just because they're good. They are good, but that's not the thing for them, I believe. They do it because they are wise enough to know that nothing else works.
That's right.
They know where it leads, and you get bound up in karma, and you get bound up in your aura, and you're limited, and then you have to work your way back again. And they don't do that because they're too wise to do it.
The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And, you know, it is, we have come to this dark place. Buddha said it's the, you know, the, it's a world of suffering. But, you know, the darkness within us and within the world out there, you know, we're here to transmute that.
Absolutely.
And as you said, I don't think that we should ignore it or suppress it, because it's going to come up again in another life drama later on. You have to look at the darkness. You have to bring light to it. But then you must embrace it, because we're in this world of duality, light, dark, masculine, feminine, up, down, left, right. So we have to find the balance, the harmony, the wholeness of having that darkness and having that lightness, and embrace both. It's an embrace.
Yes, and then the darkness then will be transmuted into light.
Yes.
But you can't transmute something until you recognize it. You know, Dr. George King, who you know about and who I was very lucky to be, actually he's one of my greatest friends, and I was one of his greatest friends, and I only say that because he said it. Otherwise I wouldn't say it. But above all else, he was my master and teacher and mentor. And when he was much younger, he was focused totally on yoga. He practiced yoga in a group actually in Notting Hill, run by Dr. Shastri. And this was just after the Second World War. So this would be the late 40s, early 50s, around there, before the Aetherius Society was founded. And he was also, though, extremely psychic. In the war, he'd been in the fire section. He was a conscientious objector, but he'd been a section leader in the fire service. And he'd been able to identify where bodies were under rubble and so on psychically. So it's nothing I would say that psychic abilities are very practical and extremely useful. And they will enhance your life, providing you remain balanced. That's a lesson we all have to learn. And humble. And just see it as just a part of human attribute that everybody could have if they chose to develop it. But he used to do that. So he was already psychic, and then he went into the yoga, which he loved. He adored it. He followed it. He practiced 8 hours a day as on top of a job. He didn't have his own income. He had to work, but he did yoga as well. And he went to this particular group run by Dr. Shastri, and they encouraged you to detach from psychic powers and psychic ability. And he basically questioned this and said, well, how can you give up an ability you don't have? You first of all, you've got to develop it.
Yes.
And it's always useful. And he used it. He used it when I knew him. We would be in a committee meeting, let's say, here in London. He might be in LA. And we had a question which we couldn't answer without his input. And more than once, that moment, he'd phone up and give us that answer, because we didn't want to disturb him, but he would phone up and do it. This is when I was first coming into the society and so on. So he used it himself. But at the same time, when you reach a certain stage of enlightenment, at that point, at that moment, even the psychic abilities have to be given up, as it were, rejected, detached from, as all mind has to be detached from when you enter full samadhi.
Yes.
But
you think that it's very important? I think one of the most important things to use these powers for the good of all.
Thank you. That's exactly the point.
Because most people, you know, it's a responsibility. It's a privilege. It's an honor that you have raised your vibration to be bestowed by the Most High these beautiful powers. So you must give them out for the good of all and be of service to humanity, and not use it for, you know, own selfish or harmful, do no harm.
Absolutely right. That's the, in the end, the acid test. You can develop abilities, but unless they're useful for serving others, they're just a stepping stone. You don't need them. anymore, but they're useful for serving others. They're very useful for making judgments in life, for making decisions in life, because so many people, and this isn't judgmental, it happens across the board, make judgments and decisions, be it about a relationship, be it about business, be it about any aspect of their life, which they regret later, which with hindsight would be better if they hadn't made it in the first place. And if one is guided, again, by one's intuition, this is the best way to make judgments. Then when you get an intuitive feeling, then analyze it by all means. Then try to understand why. Sometimes you don't know why. You get an impression to do something. You know it's real because you've trained yourself and you can recognize the difference between imagination and intuition. That's one thing I really push and teach, because it's a difficult area for a lot of people, for everyone when they're learning, actually. But in the end, you can discover the difference. It feels different. It's more lasting, the intuition. It has, as it were, internal staying power, has a whole different feeling. And I call it getting into a certain groove, and you recognize that groove and you're in that groove, and it's different from just imagining things.
Can I just ask, is it like that's the, you know, we all have the two sides. It's the eternal battle within, isn't it? So the true intuition is your true divine self, which is connected to, you know, divine intelligence coming in. Yes. That's your true intuition. But then we have the lower egoic self, which comes in and, you know, craves the things that it, you know, consumes and wants. So there's a differentiation there that we have to know which one is the true. You know, that's what the training is.
That's exactly what the training is. And this is why I mentioned the Ascended Masters, because they always follow their higher self. They don't waste time. I don't really think at that level they have much of an egoic lower nature anyway, at all. Probably it's non-existent. But nevertheless, they've reached that point through experience. They weren't always ascended. They became ascended. And the key thing is following your higher self. Now, you know, one of the things that I think is very important to know, when you have really elevated spiritual experience of whatever level, it's different from the sort of what you mentioned, the egoic, selfish, materialistic type of experience, because the materialistic type of experience might be very pleasurable, it might be enjoyable, but it's finite. It ends. And you have a memory, and you might have other things too, like disappointment, or you might have all kinds of things afterwards. You might have, unfulfilled desire afterwards because you can't have it again immediately, or whatever it is. These things can happen. But anyway, it's come, it's gone. With a spiritual experience, though, it stays with you. It's lasting. Even though you leave it, and you should, and this is something a lot of spiritual people don't know, actually, if I may say, you should leave it sometimes, because in order to serve, you have to. Yeah. Because in order to serve, you have to come, as it were, down some levels to be practical, to be functional, to be able to do sometimes physical things, operational things, mechanical things, whatever, depending on how you give service. You've got to do that. So you leave it. But if you've left it in order to serve, it's still there. I mean, I found that very recently, like in the last few days, I had an experience, very elevated one, a couple of years ago. And since then, the only thing I've really wanted to do even more so was serve. And I've been doing that. But I had an opportunity again, and I found that I could get back into it. And even it was better, even much more easily than the first time. But I just to finish the point, I do think, though, that if you or I or anybody went off the rails, as it were, they didn't leave it in order to serve. I'm taking your point. They left it in order to follow their egoical lower nature and so on. Then I don't think they would be able to immediately return to it. They could even lose it until they worked hard again to get back there. Wow. So that's the key thing. But if you do it to serve, you haven't lost anything.
Yes. And then you come back to it, and then you come back elevate a little bit higher next time.
It's higher because
every time becomes higher.
It does, because in the meantime, you've been serving. So you have been expressing more love energy, which is what service really is a result of. You need that as your motivating force and power to serve. Yeah. You know, I've met people who kind of they've served a lot and then they've lost the interest, they've drifted off the path, or they haven't got the motivation anymore. And that's because they haven't been feeding their inner selves with love energy. That's the force that's going to make us serve and want to serve. Yes. And so, as I say, I had this experience myself quite recently. I managed to get back there fairly quickly compared to the last time, but there was much more love in it.
Mm.
And actually, there was more bliss in it, but the main thing is there was more love in it. And that's so it was fuller in that regard. And in the meantime, I'd been serving very happily. That's all I really wanted to do for a couple of years. It was a couple of years gap.
Mm. Yeah. That is so beautiful. I love that. You know, because it's almost like, you know, when we serve, I call it the 3D, the world. Yeah. And then as we go higher and we're with our higher self, that's, you know, higher dimensions, isn't it? And so, in order, we have to go in there. We have to go in the world. You know, we have to put ourselves in there, put ourselves in the darkness, help the people. You know, that's so important. But then as we always come back, you know, and fill ourselves up with that divine love light energy. That's
yes.
protection as well. The divine light armor of God that serves us, you know.
Indeed. I mean, we have in the Aetherius Society, we are named after a master whose name we're given was Aetherius. And he had many great teachings, but one of them was a very simple aphorism, I would call it, which is reach onwards, reach upwards, but never forget to reach inwards. Sorry, reach outwards, I should say. Reach upwards, but never forget to reach inwards.
That's so beautiful.
And we have to remember to reach inwards. And some of the people who drift off and suddenly don't really know why they're doing what they're doing after a while have forgotten to reach inwards.
Yes, definitely. And what about, this is just really fascinating to me because, you know, I do a lot of work with the third eye and the Kundalini, and it really is the gateway. And the antenna. But please tell us the truth about the third eye.
The third eye is the Christ center, and it's all the chakras are wonderful. As you get higher, and, you know, I suppose what is wrong is that most people on Earth are dominated, as I mentioned, by the lower centers, and sometimes they're misused as well. And so the higher centers are subordinated. Sorry, they are, yes, the higher centers are subordinated to the lower. We're governed often by the lower. What should happen is the lower centers should be governed by the higher centers. They should still be used. And the Christ Center is one of the most important centers of them all. And it's a large center. And we can see it. We can start to see it. We shouldn't focus on it on the physical body. Mm. We should focus on it a few inches in front of the head. It can be like a little white light there. You can meditate on that. You can concentrate on that. And you might start to see that. Initially, it might be what you're seeing actually. Might be, and this has happened to me, a reflection of a lower center, possibly the solar plexus center. Doesn't matter. You don't yet know that. But later on, it can be real. And when it is, I what I have seen anyway, it's a violet magenta sort of color that I've seen. And it's very vivid. It's extremely clear. But what's important about it isn't just what you see, it's the fact that you're able to know. Now, if you're able to raise Kundalini to that center, then you are going, you know, there's a big, big sort of, you have to sort of take a big step, really, between certain centers and others. So one big step is between the solar plexus and heart. That's a very, very important step indeed. And when you start to activate the heart center, you're activating your higher consciousness, your true consciousness. You can experience great bliss and wonderful feelings, and the main one being a feeling of love for all life, but now it's all life. If you activate the sex center, we know some of the things that you can experience, but there are other wonderful things you can experience in the sex center. But I think they are more personal. So you might have greater empathy, feeling for people, things like this. But when you get to the heart center, it's a universal love for all. Now, then there's another big step between the throat, which is all of them are important, but it's a smaller one, and the Christ center, because then you're moving beyond basic thought if you really are able to do it. You're actually entering a kind of controlled, self-induced trance. And then you know. So if you meditate in that way, you for example, one sounds ridiculous, but I did at one point meditate on a hedgehog. And you will know that hedgehog. You'll know why it's, you know, scurrying along and what it's feeling and why it's feeling it and what it's meant to do. Or if it might be animals in a jungle, which are pretty fierce, you'll know why they have to be that way. And as part of their essential evolution to becoming what they're going to become, because all life is evolving, plant life as well. Or you might meditate on something vaster than that. There is one center higher, which is the crown center. And that's where you become one with the whole, with the cosmos as well. And it, from my experience, you start to discover something which I never used to believe, which because I learned it in the Christian religion, that God made man in his own image. And they get that all wrong because they have this idea of a God with, you know, an old man with white hair and a beard and what have you. And it's completely the wrong idea. It's not that. So that's wrong. But it's actually true, I've discovered, that God did make man in his own image.
As a creator.
But in a much vaster, more cosmic sense.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
That's so beautiful, absolutely. And the spiritual powers, I mean, I think that the spiritual healing power that every single person on this earth has, to be able to heal ourselves, to learn to use this power, to give that out to the world and give distant healing and help our loved ones and you know, people in awful situations around the world. I think this is what is the most important.
So do I. I think if you're going to pick one psychic ability of them all, if you can call it a psychic ability, it would be healing. That's something everybody can do. And they can do it at a personal level. And as you know, we have healing courses as well in our temple. We actually, in July, we went up a mountain. It's more of a hill, really, in Devon. We went up, there was over 200 people there. And they came, some actually came from abroad. Some came from France, South Africa, I think Germany. And they gathered there, and we sent energy to various things, but one of the main focuses was this terrible situation in Israel-Gaza. Mm. Now, within hours of that pilgrimage, I mean, it's still a disaster there, don't get me wrong, it's a terrible situation, but within hours of that pilgrimage, Israel decided, with influence from other countries, to open humanitarian corridors and have ceasefires in those humanitarian corridors. And for the first time, aid actually reached people there, at least for a while, for a matter, and it continued. It wasn't just a one-day thing, it continued for days. It might still be continuing now. And this, though, happened, as I say, within hours of us doing that prayer, and people, this is the important thing, having made a massive effort to get down to a mountain in Devon, Holston Down, North Devon, and climb that mountain. So it wasn't an easy thing to do. They were traveling on coaches. They were staying down there. It cost them money. Some had flown in from other countries to be there. They'd made a big effort. And I think there's a karmic tipping point,
yes,
where if enough effort is made of sending out spiritual energy, enough is karma is manipulated, something can happen. And yes, something did happen. And I actually believe, and I'm quite clear about this, that that decision was a result of our pilgrimage, because for months there'd been efforts to try, yes, and get them to open these humanitarian corridors, and they wouldn't, and there was no talk of it. And suddenly, as they within about 4 hours,
yes,
they were declared open.
Wow, and that is the people coming together and, yeah, all using this beautiful, the divine love energy, the spiritual healing energy, and all pointing and focusing that energy together on that one place.
Yeah. As I say, actually, I got it wrong. It wasn't France. We had somebody from Italy, Germany, and South Africa who'd come, yeah, traveled, more than one from Italy, actually, to be there,
wow,
as well as people who've come from all over the UK to be there. Yeah. There was a big effort, and it wasn't even just the energy and the prayer, mm, and the heartfelt prayer, everybody chanting mantra together, mm, a lot of them completely new to it,
yes,
joining in with their heart and their souls for 2 hours, sending this out on top of a mountain, which is a holy mountain,
yes,
charged through Dr. King.
Mm.
That was a really powerful manipulation, but it was also all the effort that all of those pilgrims had made, and they'd overcome, in certain cases, probably disbelief, or they might have had friends who say, "Where? What are you doing? How are you wasting your time?"
That's
or
right,
whatever people say. They'd disregarded that. They'd followed their intuition.
Yeah.
They'd gone there, and there was a result.
And, you know, it's so absolutely beautiful, because yesterday, me and my son, he's 18, and I was doing yoga with him, teaching him,
yeah,
yoga again. But I, at the end, we did the OMS, and then I said, okay, we're going to do some spiritual healing. I'm going to teach you how to do it, to bring the energy down through you, you know, that beautiful white luminescent healing energy,
yeah,
intensify in the heart, bring it down your arms and push it out through the chakras in the hands. And we,
yeah,
were doing that for at least 5 minutes. And afterwards, and he said, "Mom, I really felt it when you said it. I felt it so much coming,
yeah,
down my arms and out through my hands. I could feel it, you know." And then he put his hands together. You can feel the energy. It's so magnetic, isn't
it's
it?
Real. It's not it's a matter so of faith. Beautiful. I mean, faith is actually a good thing, but you don't have to rely on faith. It's a real.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful, and we'll be doing that, by the way, at the workshop, you know, the event you're coming to, Discover Your Psychic and Spiritual Powers, September the 6th. We're going to do it. People are going to experience these things, and the white light is the key. White because it contains all the colors of the spectrum, so it's just a beautiful energy. You bring it down through the head, down through the arms, through the palms, and you can send it out. And everybody can do it. The other great energy I would mention is the violet flame, which comes from Mother Earth. We owe everything to the Mother Earth. We would be nothing without the Mother Earth. Now, I mentioned clairaudience earlier, and I do still sometimes get communications. I've had a number of communications, actually, from writers. And I had them from Dante, from Tolstoy, and from Francis Bacon, who I believe wrote a lot of the Shakespeare. So this is interesting to me because you can't really fake that. You know, it stands or by what it is, and that some of that's on my website. But this message I got actually in July of this year, and I got it from someone I'd never heard of at all, but I looked him up afterwards, and he passed on not too long ago, and is a very highly acclaimed and followed yogi guru from India. But he wanted to say this about the violet flame. So if I just read you a bit of this, if that's okay. He said this: the violet flame contains many colors which become violet in their combined expression. Love is the underlying radiation, with purity, compassion, and protection being its main qualities. Softly it rises through all etheric channels connected to this planet, warm, embracing, nourishing, peaceful, inspiring, and life-giving. A creative force like no other we can experience through direct emission, transmission, submission, and admission. Those were his words. And, it's just an endorsement of something that we do anyway, which is this wonderful practice of the violet flame. And I do believe that violet flame, or the flame that comes from Mother Earth, others have talked about the violet flame. I think the I Am movement, often they look to Count Saint Germain, which is a very good thing to do, to look to Count Saint Germain. But they talk about the violet flame. I think possibly some Reiki healers use violet as a visualization. But this practice is raising up the violet flame from Mother Earth, from beneath our feet, all the way through us, right the way through our body, through our aura, up above our head. It's cleansing, it's purifying, it's transmuting, it's raising the energies within us, it's preparing us, it's the perfect way to prepare us to send out energy. It's also a very protective force indeed. And also that flame from which it comes, I believe, is the same source as that from which Kundalini comes. And that's one of the big keys. So Mother Earth is, every day we should revere Mother Earth.
That's so true. That's absolutely beautiful.
I mean, we do one at practice, which I'm going to be doing on September the 6th. And we're holding one again, by the way, on October the 18th, if they can't do the September the 6th. But we do a practice where people look into their own future, their near future, and they can see what's coming. And the key there is to be able to interpret it. And sometimes, you know, you don't know exactly. And that's where you absolutely need your intuition and to be guided by it. But as I say, just sometimes the answer to things gets revealed over time. And it will be revealed to you. And sometimes you just wake up and you go, oh, I know the answer to that. It'll just come to you.
Yeah, that's beautiful divine guidance there. Oh, absolutely wonderful. Richard, I cannot wait to come and experience your Discover Your Psychic and Spiritual Powers workshop. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. And I just want to say thank you for your divine wisdom always on our show. And thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a privilege. Thank you for all that you do, Yogini Joanne. It's fantastic what you're doing. And please, I invite people to come to my website, if I may, which is just simply richardlawrence.co.uk. Mm-hmm. And, just have a look and you'll see the details of these events and other events we're holding. We're doing a retreat, actually. We're doing one in September, but it's fully booked. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be another one next May. And that's where people will actually unlock their psychic powers. So we go further. Wow. But Discover Your Psychic Powers, I'm hoping that everyone will have an experience. And if they don't, they'll at least see other people who do. And that will then make them feel this is real. I want them to walk out feeling, yeah, okay, learning some things, but also seeing this is not just an idea. This is not somebody's claim. This is something I can experience and use to serve others.
Oh, absolutely wonderful. Thank you, Richard, so much.
Thank you.